All right, welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. I am currently not joined by my usual co-host, Misto Cristofo, Chris Thornton, as he's working a double the day at work. But you can be sure to follow him on Twitter, at Misto Cristofo, as well as myself, at Zach underscore Goodall, and mainly the Locked On Jaguars page, at Locked On Jaguars. We've had a lot of work coming out, currently doing a roster breakdown at every position. Be sure to check that out. But I am joined by Mike Kay of First Coast News. He's a friend of the podcast, been on with us before, Jaguars beat writer over there. He's been at every day of Jaguars OTAs, which just wrapped up today, day 10, as they get ready to head into minicamp. So he's going to give us some of his observations, some things he's seen, what he likes out there, and get us ready for minicamp to start. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Great to have you back on. Guess we'll go ahead and hop right into it. One of the main storylines pretty much every year as we head into the season, get into all the offseason workouts. People want to know the progress of Blake Bortles as a passer because everyone wants him to take that next step that people have been saying he's been chasing for the past couple of years. But from all accounts, he's appeared to be pretty sharp during these practices. So what have you seen in terms of his improvements from last year into this training camp program?
Well, I think he's a lot more consistent with his accuracy and his deep ball prowess. Like, he has really been throwing some beauties out there. There have been some balls that have been kind of minorly misplaced, but they enter the catch radius of the wide receiver, and I think that's something that kind of eluded him. Like, when he used to miss hard, and that could be the difference between getting a first down or getting maybe 2 yards. You know what I mean? So I think with Blake, it's about consistency, and he's been very consistent throughout this pajama stage of the off season. You know, Doug Marrone likes to say that they're playing in their pajamas, and he doesn't actually call them practices. We call them workouts and sessions for OTAs. And I think Blake's actually been one of those guys that's been able to play towards the level of what he played at last year, despite the lack of contact, obviously.
Now, speaking of the pass game, you wrote a story the other day that there seems to be a rapport being built between newly signed tight end Austin Seferian-Jenkins and Bortles. So give me a rundown on how comfortable Seferian-Jenkins has seemed to, you know, feel out there, as well as some of the new receivers, Dante Moncrief and DJ Chark.
Yeah, sure. Austin Seferian-Jenkins has caught pretty much everything thrown his way. Obviously, there's not a lot of contact. The middle of the defense has kind of opened up a little bit. But Blake's really hit his stride, hitting him in pretty heavy coverage at times. They seem to know what each other's thinking with each route. It seems pretty seamless. Moncrief was a star for the first couple of weeks of OTAs. He missed the final OTA workout today, but he's been making some plays. He's been a really good deep threat. And with DJ Chark, he's developed some chemistry with Cody Kessler, the backup quarterback. Chark's really good about using his 6'3" size on the sideline, towards the sideline, making jumping catches and just kind of boxing out the defender or leaping over him. And I think that's what's been most impressive so far. We haven't really seen his speed full on yet, but I think that's going to come in training camp and mini camp next week.
And you mentioned the middle of the defense. I'll try and go back and forth on defense and offense. Miles Jack has been limited. He hasn't been able to do too much of the workouts. I'm not exactly sure why. I hadn't caught up on that part yet. But you had a story earlier in the week that a former small school safety out of Stetson, which is less than 2 hours away, Donald Payne, was claimed by the team last year at the start of the year, had a special teams role. But you wrote that he actually has been taking first-team reps at the Mike position with Jack being out. How has he looked out there, as well as how has Jack looked, despite it being in pajamas, just fluidity with the defense whenever Jack has been on the field and when Payne's been taking those first-team reps?
So I'll start with Jack. In his limited reps, especially his individual reps, he's looked fine. He's looked solid. He's been very vocal throughout the OTA period, whether he's in there or not, very encouraging to his teammates. He's taken on a bit of a leadership role, it seems like. Very, very vocal. Very, very vocal. That's like the key to him this offseason. As far as Payne goes, you know, he's done a really good job in coverage. It's kind of hard to see how good a guy is against the run with no contact. Like, you can see he gets to his spot, which is fine. But, like, you watch the guy in coverage. He's had a couple of pass breakups. He had a pick on earlier this week, and then he had a pick today, Friday, to cap OTAs. He intercepted a pass from Blake Bortles across the middle. So, you know, two interceptions during OTAs as the fill-in middle linebacker is a pretty impressive ego boost heading into mini camp and then potentially training camp. Remember, this is a guy who had three total defensive snaps last year, was learning the linebacker position, was learning the defense on the fly. I mean, I think it's impressive how he's responded to this challenge.
And keeping it on the defensive side of the ball, you also wrote up earlier this week that Ronnie Harrison has been turning heads, the safety out of Alabama. How has he been working in with the defense, and how comfortable does he seem to be in this cover three scheme so far?
Well, he's been playing strong safety, which kind of has limited his, like, impact plays, obviously, because he can't go up against the run. He's a heavy hitter. But I'll tell you, his instincts are really, really good. He's very quick to get to the ball. He's very good about finding the ball, like getting through all the dirt and finding the truffles, you know?
Right.
He's a guy that I think could have an impact as the fourth safety in this defense, because the guy who's really turning heads with his athleticism is Cody Davis, the guy they brought in to be a special teams maven and a guy that really has just played lights out when he's been on the field. He missed the last two OTA workouts, though.
And back over on the offensive side of the ball, I found out today in Doug Marrone's press conference that A.J. Cann has been limited as well, the right guard. Who's been working in at right guard with him being out, just getting a lot of drills done? People have hoped that Will Richardson would get to compete at the position as he was drafted offensive tackle out of NC State, but the idea is that potentially he could play guard this year. Has he gotten any reps there?
We're not specifically allowed to mention where they work out or where they play unless a coach addresses it, but as I wrote last week, Josh Walker is the guy that's been pegged as the right guard in A.J. Cann's absence. You know, Richardson's gotten some tackle reps, that's what I will say. I think his main job this year will be swing tackle. I think right now it's Josh Walker and A.J. Cann probably battling for that right guard spot. They like Walker a lot. He's a dude that does a lot of things well. He's a veteran. He's played in the league. He's bounced around a bit, but they like what he brings from a physical standpoint and a mental standpoint.
Now, this will be the last thing I bring up. With Leonard Fournette missing OTAs, not due to injuries or anything, it just appears that he's skipped them. Obviously, you know, people have been looking towards T.J. Yeldon and Corey Grant to step into that running back role. Yes, obviously being a workout, it's not that big of a deal compared to if he were to miss minicamp or training camp. But have there been any guys out of that group that have impressed you, or maybe even the Tim Cooks of the world?
I mean, Corey Grant's been the guy that's taken the majority of the reps because T.J. Yeldon missed quite a few OTAs himself, including the last one today. You know, it's tough because these type of workouts are really good for one cut guys who can just, or guys that can bounce outside because they don't need to deal with a lot of contact. And I think, you know, Corey Grant looks fast. I think Braden Wilds has looked a lot better than I thought he would. Against air, obviously. Tim Cook has had his struggles in individual drills and in practice, just in general. But they seem to like him. I'll give you somebody to look out for at fullback, though. Lamar Atkins has took every single rep for the fullback position during OTAs because Tommy Bohannon's been sidelined. And he is one heck of a wide receiver, well, not a wide receiver, but one heck of a receiver out of the backfield. And I think he's going to be a guy that really has a legit case to battle a starter for a job. You know, there's only going to be one on the roster, and Bohannon's missed all of the workouts for OTAs. I think he'll be back. This is just a guess, but I think he'll be back for minicamp.
So you mentioned that, and I guess that will lead me to one last thing. I thought that was going to be my last one. But A fullback battle would certainly be intriguing. That's something that would get Chris really excited. But as we look forward to minicamp and then training camp being about a month after, are there any battles in particular that you're really going to keep an eye on?
Well, I think right guard's a job that it shouldn't necessarily be up in the air. I don't think AJ Can has played as poorly as a lot of people perceive him to. Is he the weakest link on the offensive line from a on paper standpoint? Maybe. But I also don't know if he's necessarily a guy who is worse than any of the other guys that they have behind them. I think the battle for swing tackle will be interesting. As I mentioned, Will Richardson, William Pales, who they like a lot. I'll have a story on him next week. And then, you know, you got Josh Wells, who's been the incumbent. I think when you look at the linebacker position, I don't know if Sam Linebacker is a lock for Blair Brown with the way that Donald Payne's playing. You know, there is Leon Jacobs. He hasn't really been able to stand out yet, obviously, because, you know, when you're playing Sam, you're only in for a limited amount of reps, and you really aren't playing the pass as efficiently as probably Telvin Smith or the guys that are filling in at middle linebacker. Wide receiver is going to be tough, though. I mean, I know I'm rambling, but wide receiver is going to be an interesting bet. I don't know if that's as set in stone as everybody thinks it is. You know, I think a lot of people perceive Marquise Lee and Dante Moncrief on the outside, and then I've pretty much tried to solidify in everybody's mind that Keelan Cole makes the most sense in the slot. But, you know, there could be a dark horse. It could be that they like Keelan Cole outside and that they like Marquise Lee in the slot. You know, there's a lot to develop there, and I think when you look at tight end, outside of Austin Seferian Jenkins, no one has stood out at all. So that's a position that I could see them bringing in some people. That's a position that I could see the backups being a very interesting battle between Ben Koyak, James O'Shaughnessy, David Greenwich, and Niles Paul. And, you know, they'll go from there.
And then I think that should just about do it for us. Mike, thanks for joining. I'm sure we'll be talking to you again sometime either after minicamp or during the training camp process.
Sounds good to me.
You guys can be sure to follow Mike on Twitter at @Mike_E_K and check out all of his work over at firstcoastnews.com. As for myself, like I said earlier, be sure to give me a follow at @Zach_Goodall, as well as Chris at @MistoCristofo. We know it's really hard to spell and understand, so just look at the Locked On Jaguars page. And while you're at that Locked On Jaguars page, go ahead and shoot them a follow as well. And we will be back sometime next week to continue our crossover series.